Hello, this is Miss Parker from RV Project Help, and I'd like to read a disclaimer of liability. The material and information contained or given in this website or audiocast is for general information only. All parties on this channel are not lawyers or financial advisors. You're using this information with your own discretion. You should not rely upon the material or information on this website or audiocast as a basis for making any business decisions. While I do endeavor to keep the information up to date and correct, RV Project Help makes no representations or warranties of any kind, express or implied, about the completeness, accuracy, reliability, suitability, or availability with respect to the website or the information, products, services, audio files, related graphics contained on the website for any purpose. All due diligence is the responsibility of the participant. So, thank you, folks, for showing up and having to listen to me today. With the RV, I mean, I believe it's imminent. Like I thought it should have happened by today. But a lot of the questions I'm getting in DM is about how to communicate, and they want tips and ideas on proper communication. Oh my God, this is awesome. Sabrina's in here too, folks. She is one of the best communicators. I wish I was more like her. I went through a bunch of different files and I had different notes on how to get complex ideas across easily. When you're pitching your product, whatever it is, and I'm not talking about cannabis, I'm not talking about CBD, I'm talking about when you have an invention and you're pitching to somebody that doesn't know anything about what you're trying to explain, there are some ideas, there are some tips and things you can do that will help you communicate properly or more correctly how to get complex, intense ideas across. So I hope these tips help for you. These are pretty much the things I work on. Knowledge is a curse, okay? And I know that sounds funny, but it is. I used to get teased horrifically as a child. You're a know-it-all, you're a know-it-all, you're a know-it-all. And I'm like, yeah, so what? It took me until I was an adult to figure out there's nothing wrong with knowledge. Not a thing. The problem is when you know what you're talking about, when you know your subject matter, your whole goal is to convey an idea or a concept, and that's it. The reason why you get called a know-it-all is because when you're trying to explain this, you get caught up in jargon. You get caught up in, colloquial talk, shop talk, okay? And this never ever resonates well with the people that are listening to you. If you know a lot about your topic, often what you know is too much about your topic. It's really important to not take shortcuts in your explanation. Do not assume that your audience knows something already. And for God's sakes, don't use any technical jargon because that'll go right over their head, okay? And then they just tune you out. They don't want to listen to you. I tell my clients, don't vomit words, okay? Do not vomit words. Make everything short, concise, and to the point. And then amazing, Twitter came along. And so I used to tell my clients, do the Twitter test. They're like, what the hell are you talking about, Park? Keep each point. You've got all those points in your paper. Keep each point, like each one of your bullet points. Whatever you're going to say about your bullet points, write it out first. This is a great way to train yourself how to talk, by the way. Write it out first. No more than 140 words. No more. Some points are going to take more words, but 140 words was a great way to keep me concise and sharp and to the point. Twitter test was my best friend. Everybody laughed at me when I first started talking about this. But when people actually start to put that into use, it is a great way to communicate extremely complex ideas or theories. Because when you break it down to 140 words, you know, it's not going to be the right for everybody for all points. But by forcing yourself to break your thing down to only 140 words, it causes you to edit yourself in a way that is masterful. You want, and when you become a CEO, you want to be use brevity. Use writing, speaking, however you communicate in short, concise, clear manner. I get super frustrated with myself because I can't do the Twitter test when I'm talking, when I'm speaking. And I feel like I have garbage mouth, like I'm saying way too much and I can't convey the ideas. So then I go, hey, Sabrina. Sabrina does this naturally. She does it every single time she talks. She has a way of speaking in a concise, clear, to the point manner. So she's going to be doing a program. I think I was supposed to let her do it today. Sabrina, was you supposed to do that today?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you before we did that. I just wanted to talk to you before we did it.
Okay, so Sabrina's going to do it tomorrow. I suck, Sabrina. I'm so sorry.
No. I just wanted to talk to you just a couple of questions.
And okay.
Too long. So, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
When Sabrina does her chat, listen to the way she talks. She is a master at the Twitter test. She speaks in very concise, clear manners. And I wish I had that skill. Because I don't have that ability, I have to write everything down to get myself to not do word vomit. And you should try it. It helps you a lot. You're welcome. It's very much the truth. Many times I will write a document and I will, you know, this document will be like 7 pages, 9 pages. And I'm like, oh, good Lord Almighty. Nobody wants to listen to that shit. Nobody wants to listen to 7 pages of fucking documents. So I call it chunking. Chunk your information. Okay. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. And when you are trying to talk about very complex topics, how you present that information forward is key. Because I'm not really good at that, when Lambrios was like, oh, do these audios. I'm like, dude, I can't keep the information orderly. I got to write the whole thing out before I talk. You know, I do an index and then I talk from the index. She says, do it. By doing these podcasts, it's made me better at breaking information down into little bite-sized chunks. And I spent a lot of time, like, on this topic. I changed around my information all different ways to see which way would give it the best flow to explain to you what I'm trying to say. When you keep your information in order, you know, from the one point to the next point to the next point, it kind of has a flow. And when you put them in the right sequence and speak them out loud, you can hear that flow. And when you do that, it gives the person who you're speaking to a chance to absorb what you're saying, and they are able to understand how it fits together. The type of dyslexia I have does not allow me to think in a linear manner. So I will have like today when I did this yesterday, I gave all these different topics, but it took me a while to figure out how to put them in the right order. Most people, it's not that difficult to do. If you speak it, if you do it as a speech, you can hear when it's right and you can tell when it's wrong. I don't have that ability. But I used to tell my clients, speak it out loud. Have your topics on index cards, and then switch your index cards around until it has a good, that you think it has a good flow. Then go stand in your bathroom or in your bedroom, wherever there's a mirror, and speak it to the mirror. You'll hear if it works or not. If it doesn't work, change the order of your topics. Change the order of how you're giving those chunks of information out. One of the things I do very, very well is I try to give examples of problems or like experiences. I just did it with the potato chip thing. When you're painting a picture with your words, people can experience your words. And so the solution that you're giving is more appealing. So they'll listen to you. They'll hear you out, basically. By talking about something that is a like or in the same type of thing, it allows people's brains, their dendrites to fire off in the correct order to grab the information and retain it. She may not remember anything I said about how the CBD works, you know, tinctures, oils, all that little minor detritus stuff, but she'll absolutely remember that, you know, one is like a kettle corn chip and one is like a Lay's potato chip. Okay. They're just chips. They all feed you, just they work in different ways. So it's a relatable piece of information when you're trying to give out a larger concept topic. It allows the person to retain the information in a way they already know. They're already aware of other information. So it's like scaffolding information. For those people that are in construction, I don't mean the scaffold that you have on the side of the building. I mean adding information to your current knowledge. When you are doing a presentation, either a webinar, tutorial, YouTube, magazine advertising, online reading, Instagram, all these different things, okay? You want to make your idea, your concept, you want to make it right for the area that you're printing in or you're promoting your information in to fit the space and the time of the area that you're printing in or conveying your information in. It really doesn't matter which way you do it. You just have to make it possible for people to be able to read up on your idea or your concept in their own space and time. When I talked about the CBD and the cannabinoids and the cannabinoid system, I actually put out cannabinoid system, CBD, you know, rewiring your body with THC. You can go look these things up when you're not in here listening to me, and it's easy. I've given you words to use that you can go find your own information and read up on any kind of topic on your own time and space. And that allows people to grasp and hold on to the ideas easier. When you're doing your presentation, you don't want to go right up to the 8 minutes. You want to make sure you're done by at least 7 minutes and better 6.5. Because that opportunity to make yourself available for questions or concerns or suggestions, it often will trigger that you've a realization that you might have missed a big piece of information, especially if you're speaking without cue cards or just speaking from the heart. So try to always make sure that you have at least 30 seconds, but you're better off to have a full minute, because it allows people to ask you questions that may trigger other pieces of information that they need. So make it easy for people to refer to your own ideas. I talk about this in one of my other audio files, create visuals. Visuals can help your audience understand, and they can help you get the information into their brains, and it allows people to remember the information you're conveying. Now, you have to be careful and not go too far with that, because, oh God, I had one client that I told her this thing and she just was the death of me. Every single topic, every single point, she had a visual for this, a visual for that. And like, no, it's precise. Pick one or two things to be your visual, a high impact thing. If it's a photograph, make it an 8x10 photograph and get it printed the best you can, so that when you put that photograph out on the table, it's impactful, okay? If it's a prototype of your project or a miniature of your project, whatever you're going to do along that lines, the visuals will help people remember stuff. I invented the Parker pot, the pot that has no bottom on it, and you push the bottom of the pot up. It has a disc. You drop the disc into the pot, and the bottom of the pot has a little rim. You drop the disc into the pot, and when you want a transplant, you push the bottom of the pot up, and it comes right out, so there's no damage to the roots. There's super easy to transplant. Well, when I'm explaining this, it's really freaking hard to see. So I'm taking in two of my Parker pots and a disc. My pots, you click one pot, a clear one on top of the opaque one, and now you've got a little mini greenhouse. So it's way easier, way faster to get massive complex ideas across if you have a visual. It doesn't necessarily mean an actual item, but it could be a photograph. For those of you that are thinking, oh, I'm going to have a dog care center and I'm going to throw out a picture of a dog care center, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a visual that expressly shows a thing that you're doing that other companies are not. A express point. You want it, it should be a major point of what you're doing. If you're not doing anything wildly different than anybody else, you don't need a visual. You say you can refer to other companies in your topic, in your speech, and people they'll grasp it. But if it's a new idea, a new thought, a new way, make a drawing and then blow it up to 8x10 or bigger if you can. If you're going to do an image of it, make an image, make it the best printing that you can, because when you put this out, and you shouldn't just put your visuals out right at the beginning of your presentation, you need to figure out when you're going to pull it out of your binder and give it to these people. So if your project allows you to create a visual, by all means, create a visual. I talk about the power of three all the time, and I don't really explain to you why I say what I say, but it's basic business. People tend to take home three or four facts from any presentation or discussion. Before you begin your presentation or discussion, you want to figure out what you want them to remember, okay? In this case, your three are: how many years are you going to go? How much is it going to cost? And how many people are you going to hire? Those are the power of three. Now, when you do your presentation, have somebody sit there and do your presentation in front of them, and then ask them, what's the most important thing you remembered from this presentation? If they don't tell you those three things, then go back and do it again. Work on it some more. I use many, many different words that mean the same thing, and I sprinkle them into my presentation. Multi-generational, multi-family, impact for now and later. And what I want is I want them to get into their brains that this is going to be, you know, a project that's long going, because she keeps saying multi-generational. You know, I hit on how many people I'm hiring and why hiring people is in the community is important. I hit on that in different ways inside my presentation. So if you don't use that power by embedding that information in each part of your presentation, you are not able to get that thing that you want them to remember to stay in their brains. So if you do any visual at all, do a visual that shows, divide your paper, do it horizontal, have your paper in a horizontal, and one area says, this is how many people we're going to hire, this is how many people, this is how many years we're going to work, and this is how much money it's going to cost. Make it huge, big, and then put that out in the middle of your presentation or in the right point. That's how you can use a visual. If you do your presentation and you're giving it to people a couple of times and you try different people and they don't get it, then use a visual to get your power three across. Separate a piece of paper into three areas and make a graphic, and make it big. Don't just tiddlywink around. I mean, actually use one third of the paper on one third of the paper on the other, one third of the paper on the last. And that way, even if your presentation really isn't pushing that power of three, your visual can pick up the slack. Time to have a sip of iced tea, folks. And it was so good, I have to have another. Woo! Iced tea. Lemon in iced tea is the best thing about summertime, except for watermelon. Although this doesn't apply right now, when you go out into the real world and start doing your stuff and presenting information, you're going to be presenting information to hire people too. So all of what I'm telling you works for all kinds of ways. You need to know your audience, know who you're talking to. It's easy in this because we already know that it's going to be people that are in the alliance or people that are white hats. So they're going to understand the ideas of projects and this and that. But when you're going to do a presentation to a CEO about, you know, here's my company and this is why I want you to work for me, that's going to be different than when you do a presentation to a group of workers to say, this is a job I have available if you'd like to apply for it. It's two different types of presentations. So you can't use the same thing on two different audiences. You have to focus a presentation on the audience that you're giving your presentation to. That's really critical. I try to, I don't want my audience to walk away with any doubt. I don't want them to walk away not understanding what I'm saying or talking about. So I back up my information with strong examples. I back up my information with case studies if it's available. I try to validate or substantiate my information and then tell people, you know, I'm using this case study, this documentary evidence, this scientific proof. I got it from this place, like my Parker Potts. UC Davis did a case study on soil, and they use soil and different types of plants. And they use three different types of pots in their case study. They didn't actually plan on doing a case study on pots. They did a case study on my pots because the plants that were grown in my pots had way, 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 way little less problems. And that caused them to do another case study on the benefits of different types of pots. And mine was hands and above everybody else. So I'm going to bring up the case study from UC Davis because has to do with what I'm doing. But even if it's not your own product, you can bring in case studies of similar or like things, especially if it's a case study that has scientific proof about what you're doing. If you want to give dogs to veterans and you're trying to say, hey, this will make veterans heal better, do some research. See if there's a case study or some kind of documentary evidence or maybe visual evidence where it's a picture of proof of what you're saying. That makes your case much stronger and it supports your claims. The biggest thing is don't exaggerate your facts. Make sure your proof is legit and make sure you have a way to a place where people can go to prove your case, that your case is legit. Some of the funny clients I've had, they would say, I would make an excellent radio presenter because I have so much information to say. Well, that's the exact opposite. They make terrible information. They'd be terrible radio presenters because they got too much to say. A great radio presenter, a great audio presenter can tell a story well. They don't mince words and they don't drag the story on forever. I fail at this. I'm really bad at it because I'm trying to pull information out of my brain at the same time I'm trying to talk, and I end up with gaps in my words, gaps in my information. I'm well aware that I'm making this mistake, and I'm trying all the time to be better at my audio cast without mincing words and without dragging stuff on forever. But sometimes I fail, and I'm an imperfect person, and God still loves me. Yay! You just want to tell a great story, but you don't want to just drag it on and on and on and on because you got nothing else to say. One of the most powerful bits of information that I use, or pieces of advice I ever got, was from a book. It was called The Back of the Napkin. The Back of the Napkin, for those of you who want to write it down. And the book was written by a guy named Dan, D-A-N, Rome, R-O-A-M. Again, the name of the book is The Back of the Napkin. Rome puts out a piece of advice that, when I first read this, I'm like, this is bullshit. He said that simple drawings done on the back of a napkin can often be more powerful than any kind of PowerPoint presentation. And I started using that concept when I was doing business meetings, you know, just one or two people, and you're in a bar having a drink, and I grab a napkin, flip it over, and I start writing out the concepts of what we're doing. And man, it made a massive difference in the vendors that listened to me and the vendors that just passed me over. So it basically boils down to keeping everything simple. Simple, easy, understandable, and relatable. It's the key points for good communication in business and presentations. I want you to watch something. I want you to do this one little thing, okay? So let me do this. Okay. A lot of people think that 5 minutes is a long time. It's a very short time. They go, oh, it's terrible, terrible. You know, we're not going to be able to get anything done in 5 minutes. I'm like, how is that possible? So I want you to see what a minute is like, okay? And I'm going to start right now. I'm going to say a couple more things. I'm going to be silent for 1 minute. And your brain will tell you how many things you can say in a minute. I'm going to start right now. That's a minute, folks. That's a minute. You've got a long, long time to talk. 5 to 7, 5 to 8 minutes is a very long time to get your point across, especially complicated points. The average adult attention span is like 12 minutes. 12 minutes seems like 12 minutes 20 years ago. And now the average attention span is 5 minutes. So I wanted you to hear a minute so you can really cement in your brain how much time you actually have. And by hearing a minute, being silent for a minute, so you hear a minute, you have a much better concept of how to strategize to convey your information, because your audience is going to give you their undivided attention for 5 to 8 minutes. So use that minute knowledge that you have now, and it'll be a lot easier to develop your presentation, because you now know how much time you really have. Remember when you were in school and math classes? Oh God, I hated math classes. But the math teacher would walk up to the blackboard, for those of you that are up in age to have a blackboard. They would walk up to the blackboard with all kinds of pomp and circumstances. And they'd write out the math problem. Okay? That math problem they're going to teach you, like 1 divided by, 10 divided by 2 is 5. Then they would explain division. Okay? They'd write the problem out. That writing the problem out, that's stating the fundamental of the problem. That's stating the issue. You share the main topic in the beginning. In the very front of your presentation, there is a bio or a piece of information that is your jump off spot of where you're going to start your information at. So this is the reason why when you're writing your projects and you're writing like 12 pages, I go back, cut it to 2 pages. You can fairly easily read 2 pages of information. If you're doing 10, 12 pages for a 5 minute pitch, you're not even getting to the fundamentals. You're fuzzying everything up. There's too much information for them to go through. And worse, they'll take your packet and they'll go through it and they won't put it down to talk to you, to listen to you. So figure out concise, clear, transparent, that first sentence of what you're going to say, and then back it up with all the information that you have. You need this seems so against what you wanted to do, but you need to be transparent about risks and transparent about consequences. Because if you pretend that everything's perfect, you're pretending, and they know you're pretending that you're not pretending. If you pretend that everything is perfect, your audience is going to know or going to think that this guy is an idiot, this girl is an idiot. They don't even know the pros and the cons of what they're going to do. So if they don't know the cons of what they're going to do, they can't alleviate any risk factor. So even though it seems against what you need to do, be transparent about the risk. And believe it or not, it does your idea way more good than harm. If your audience knows, hey, you're fully aware that there's some risk in what you're doing. You're fully aware that there's potential negative consequences. You want to tell them the risk, tell them the potential negative consequences, and your solution to mitigate that problem. That puts you head and tails above everybody else. If you're going to bring out a problem, always bring out the solution to mitigate that problem. That's going to show the listener that you have complete understanding of your project. You know what you're doing, okay? It doesn't seem like it. I've had clients, no, I'm not going to tell them that. They're going to be mad if they tell them that I might have that problem. And I said, no, they won't. They'll actually be more inclined to fund you because they're aware, oh, hey, they're aware that this might be a problem. Hey, if we can't pull the crops out until October 15th, we might have snow. How are we going to mitigate those damages? So be clear about any kind of negative consequences and have a solution in your presentation if that comes up, okay? The thing that works really, really well for me is comparison. I want to compare the past with the present. I try to bring stuff forward from the past, or I try to bring an example that's either gotten better or worse and explain how that example will get worse if your idea is not implemented, or better if it is implemented. You know, we have veterans that die from suicide at, I don't remember what the rates are, 20 a day. I mean, it's horrific. And if we don't get this veteran project up, then we're going to have more veteran deaths. That's a very, you know, simple explanation of comparing the past to the present. But you want to try to stick with as many positive facts for the future, because people respond far better to positivity than to negativity. You know, you can catch more bees with honey than you can flies. So I hope this kind of helps you communicate complex ideas. If you have any thoughts, comments, now's your time, folks. Anybody have any questions or comments? We have dead silence. Okay. So I'm going to end this presentation. Thank you very much for coming in here and spending your day with me, your time with me. I certainly do appreciate it. Heavenly Father, we're getting close. Please watch over these amazing humanitarians. Make sure they speak with the mouth of Christ in them. Amen.